representative cases where amendment of contentions was refused. This is No Spill LLC out of the District of Kansas, not a big patent district, but they do see patent cases. The judge said, we're not persuaded that the defendant's original invalidity contentions were based on the understanding that a certain test was the sole test. Court says defendants had a fair opportunity to present all their theories when presenting their argument during the construction briefing, and here's what you want to remember. The purpose of amending invalidity contentions is not to give a second bite at the apple. That's not what it's for. So you're not automatically going to get permission to amend your contentions. And then there are a number of other cases I have in this area, slide 20, Trusted Knight. There was a refusal of amending the contentions. Even if the plaintiff had shown due diligence, defendant would be prejudiced where the or the amendment permitted because, and pay attention to this particular reason, because I didn't even know this case was out there, but it's important. We're not going to allow the amendment because defendant relied on plaintiff's original identification of asserted claims in deciding which claims to challenge through an IPR. So they got a parallel IPR, right? And you're going over in the court. The court is going to be aware of the parallel IPR and may refuse your right or an argument that you're entitled to amend the contentions because they're not going to let you disadvantage the person who's already filed the IPR. Courts are, and I think most people in this room probably know this, trial courts are amazingly aware these days of post-grant practice and IPR. They are very, very aware of them, not just because everybody brings it to their attention, but because their law clerks bring it to their attention, et cetera. So this is a good example, this case, of what happens if there's an IPR out there. So the next several cases are situations where on 21, Advanced Steel, 22 is first place. You waited too long before you tried to move to amend the contentions, and the court's not going to cut you any slack for that. Okay. 23, what else can happen once you get a Markman decision? Well, here's one. And this is M2M Solutions versus Sierra Wireless, which shows you what the downside can be. And those of you who know the bar in Delaware, now that Judge Stark has gone up to the big leagues and will be going to be very interesting to see how he gets along with his new colleagues at the Federal Circuit. He's astoundingly smart, great guy to try a case in front of, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Judge Andrews is still in Delaware. You can always tell in Andrew's opinion because it's I agree, I believe, etc. He always writes in that person. This is in Andrew's opinion. What happens? He goes and does a claim construction, and the claim construction pretty much kills the defendant's, the plaintiff's case, okay? And then what happens? So you got the construction. The plaintiff doesn't go away quietly. Plaintiff's opening expert report flatly contradicts my claim instruction memorandum where I explained that the patent did not contemplate broader communications options. That was the limitation in issue. And he just kind of kept going as if the trial judge was kidding about the claim construction. Judge Andrews is not a person you kid about or with. He then goes on to write, after my claim construction order, plaintiffs had the option of stipulating to non-infringement and appealing the adverse claim construction. Or, alternatively, the plaintiffs could have dropped the case. Instead, the plaintiffs, and now this is my typo, unreasonably prolonged litigation by assessing an infringement position that was contrary to the claim construction. I find this renders the case exceptional. What's that mean in straight English? Somebody is writing a check because they didn't pay attention to the claim construction and they didn't pay attention to what the claim construction did to their case. Okay? Not a good idea. However, Judge Andrews does go on to say, well, they don't have to do it immediately after I did the construction. They get a chance to decide what it has done or not done to their case. So I'll only run the fees award from when they had enough time to decide what they were going to do. Very similar to that case, Richard Shane, this is out of C.D. Cal. The court said, this is slide 24, defendants provided the, not only did plaintiff continue to assert fundamentally weak positions from the beginning of the lawsuit, but he did so even after the court's final claim construction order, which was almost fatal to his positions. Then the court goes on and lists out, thanks to the defendant, all the things that demonstrated that the plaintiff engaged in misconduct, and I bold-faced my favorite one, a late change in damages theory the night before the damage expert's deposition. Don't do stupid stuff like that. I mean, it's just crazy. You just don't do stuff like that, because you will find trial judges don't like it, and you waste their time. Intellectual Ventures, those of you who are familiar with Intellectual Ventures, they were very active, still are, plaintiff's directed group, I guess, for lack of a better word. In this case, this is out of Massachusetts, and the court here said, well, the defendant says the plaintiff should have stipulated the non-infringement and appealed the adverse claim construction order as soon as they read it. The court goes on to say, after noting, sadly, there was nothing exceptional about this patent litigation. Well, that's Massachusetts. What can I tell you?